If you have salmon for dinner tonight, there's a better than 50% chance it will be a farm-raised fish. It would have been conceived in a hatchery, raised in a cage in the ocean. It could be from Iceland, Chile, Norway, Scotland, or possibly from the state of Maine. The year just passed was in some ways a troubling one for the fish farming business in Maine, with the threat of new regulation and public protest against new farm sites. The wild Atlantic salmon has now almost vanished from Maine's coastal waters. If you see one, it's illegal to catch it. The Interior Department has put the Maine Atlantic salmon on the endangered species list. The numbers had been going down for several years. They did a survey back in the summer of the 8 prime spawning rivers and could only find 27 fish. State officials in Maine continue to fight hard against that listing, and they're now challenging with a lawsuit. They say the science is faulty, that the pure wild salmon no longer exists. The salmon farming business in Maine is only 20 years old and quite small compared to other countries. But on a given day, there could be 10 million fish swimming in cages in the cold Atlantic water.
Sonny, you ready to go?
We took a boat ride out from Bass Harbor to go see one of the operations. Maine's biggest company, Atlantic Salmon, is now harvesting and processing fish 5 days a week. They lease several sites along the coast. The salmon live in cages in the open water. There are 10 cages at this site near Swan's Island. These are mostly 8-pound fish, getting close to market size. The cages here are round, about 30 feet across. They are floating steel rings anchored by granite blocks. These fish spin clockwise in a silvery swirl, often leaping a foot into the air. Just one cage holds 6,000 fish. They are contained by a nylon net reaching deep into the water. The endangered species listing for wild Atlantic salmon could mean the aquaculture companies would have to upgrade the security of their cages. The fear is that farm-raised fish would escape and breed with the wild salmon. An accident late in November reinforces that fear. At another salmon company, a boat tore open a pen and 13,000 fish got loose. We stand on the walkway that encircles the cage and talk with Des Fitzgerald, the CEO of Atlantic Salmon of Maine. Not far away, a seal pokes its head out of the water.
We have two sets of net here because you probably won't find anybody more interested in keeping these fish inside the nets than fish farmers. These fish now are worth about $25 a piece to us. This inside net is the containment net, and then just outside of that, towards the ocean from that, is the predator net.
The predator net is to keep the big guys from coming in to get the salmon.
Yeah, mostly that would be seals. We want the seals to have a bad day here in that they're not successful in getting a fish. And then behaviorally, they begin to understand that this is not a place where they can get food.
So they could empty an entire pen?
Well, we haven't had that experience. We don't know of any escapes at all from any of our pens this year.
We've arrived at mealtime for the salmon. Their food comes in sacks and is pellet-sized. It is sprayed by a machine and falls to the water as a shower of protein. Des Fitzgerald says the salmon are quite efficient at turning fish food into fish flesh. Opponents of salmon farming will argue that ocean resources are being wasted here, that wild fish are caught to feed the farm fish. Des Fitzgerald disagrees.
One of the protein components in this feed is a herring-based or fishmeal-based protein. It could be herring or capelin or anchoveta. The fishmeal that's used commercially is fish that we humans don't eat. The other issue about fishmeal is that the largest use of fishmeal in the world by far is for pet food and the chicken industry. So, you know, this is a very small percentage in reality. So we're feeding Fido more fish meal than we're feeding these salmon.
This feed going into the water now is pigmented. I notice on the carton. That's to make it look like more like wild salmon?
Yeah, that's a derivative of a natural keratin, and it's called canthaxanthin. And it's a complete chemical mimic of what you would find in lobster shells or shrimp shells. It's what would make a salmon in the wild the sort of peach melba color.
But do you ever feel funny that that seems to be sort of a really just an aesthetic thing, sort of a style consideration to be putting dye into the feed to feed the salmon here?
Well, it's not dye. This is a natural-based keratin. It's not a dye. It doesn't dye the flesh. It doesn't come off. It's in the feed and in the flesh itself. But, I mean, if you ever separate aesthetics from food, let me know. I don't want to get to a point where we eat our food out of a tube and it's brown. I'm not interested in eating that way. I don't know about you, but, you know, aesthetics are important. The color of salmon is an element that makes it really appealing to consumers.
Des Fitzgerald of Atlantic Salmon of Maine. His employee, Sonny Sprague, is in charge of this particular site. Each day, Mr. Sprague takes his boat out to check on the pens and to feed the salmon.
When you come out to feed, you're looking at how they're doing and how the fish are acting and reacting. What is it you're looking for usually?
Well, it can be some factors. What I look for, if the fish didn't feed and it continued for a day or two, there might be feed in the water. A lot of small fish might not go in, so the gnats cut down their activity. But I'd probably look for dirty net.
Dirty net?
Dirty net in the pen, yeah. And then we either change it or clean it.
Now, what would that be? What's good?
Growth.
Growth.
Marine growth on the twine. Green.
Algae?
Yes, that. And you can see on the outer net here, you can see all kinds of little animals that are growing.
Why would dirty nets keep them from eating?
Cuts down on the circulation of water, which is oxygen.
Uh-huh.
The less oxygen in the water, the less they can maneuver and the less appetite they have. And you can see it. When there's a dirty net on and you're feeding them, they'll come up and start finning on top, and they'll be gasping for air as they go.
You could come to this part of the Maine coast and not pay much attention to the salmon cages. They sit low in the dark water, and from a distance they could be fishing nets strung from poles. But there has been opposition to some of the new farming sites. That's what happened in Blue Hill. The Maine coastal waters are federal property, but the state controls the leases. Atlantic Salmon wanted 42 acres of Blue Hill Bay water, wanted two sites there. A group of local citizens organized around several objections. They worried mostly about flushing. You have to have strong water currents underneath the salmon pens to carry away the feces and food waste. They're concerned, too, about the use of antibiotics, about the pesticides used to control sea lice in the cages, and the use of pigment to color the fish. Also, Dorothy Hayes of the Friends of Blue Hill Bay believes the scale of the proposed salmon farming is just wrong.
I would say with anything to do with farming that less is more. There are several small salmon farms down east who are disease-free, who do not try to raise enormous quantities of fish and make enormous amounts of money, who are doing a subsistence living, which is more or less the way farming has always been. And I have lived here, I've been a citizen of Maine since I was born, my forebears before me. And there have been dairy farms, there have been chicken farms, all kinds of things. There's never been any problem. They haven't been intense. They haven't been crammed and crowded. That's, I think, the problem.
Dorothy Hayes worries, too, about what she might see from her backyard. She has a postcard view of Blue Hill Bay and Mount Desert Island across the water. Don Ely is another member of the alliance working against the salmon farms.
My thesis is that you're going to have a negative economic impact when these go in, because, yes, you're going to gain a few jobs here, but you're going to lose quite a few jobs because no one's going to want to go out there and kayak or take a look at the island or be out sailing if they're sailing around salmon pens. They're just going to avoid the bay. It's one of the few that are as pristine as they are. It seems funny that places like, you know, Boston Harbor and Long Island Sound and the Narragansett Bay have all these efforts to try to restore things to their natural state, when here we have it already there. And we have an economy that's based on that. And the state's telling us, well, tough luck. We're going to try this other thing out.
Don Ely of the Friends of Blue Hill Bay. The state in this case is George LaPointe. He's Maine's Commissioner of Marine Resources. After public hearings and study, decisions about fish farm leases are made in his office. He has said both no and yes to salmon farming near Blue Hill. Mr. LaPointe agrees Blue Hill Bay is a lovely area.
And we would say that we aren't ruining it with the fish pens. My department has a monitoring program and a lease review program that is quite rigorous. And we look at each lease case by case. And it's well known that I turned down two leases in that area because of concerns about water quality. And I have approved some others because the site-specific conditions affect how water quality will be impacted by a site. The other impact is what people call a visual impact. We can have a lobster boat and they think that's quaint, and we can have a salmon pen and they think it's not.
Well, what's the answer there?
There's no good answer there. My contention is, if you sit in Blue Hill and think about looking down from Blue Hill towards Mount Desert Island, the pens that are envisioned aren't going to look like a multi-story industrial complex. They're going to look like a very small bit of activity close to the water.
Maine's Marine Resources Commissioner George LaPointe. The public opposition to the salmon lease sites was followed in November by the endangered species listing of the wild salmon. It's not yet clear what steps the companies might have to take to comply, but Commissioner LaPointe and the Maine Aquaculture Association worry that all this may mean a drop-off in investor enthusiasm. Salmon farming in Maine, according to the Aquaculture Group, is a $75 million business, with many new jobs in some of the state's poorest counties. Maine's Governor Angus King has warned the endangered species listing alone would cut the salmon business in half. Proponents of the industry say the oceans are overfished. Aquaculture is a sustainable way to provide protein in diets. In Blue Hill, Maine, though, at least a few people are willing to do without the farm-raised fish, saying you shouldn't be able to serve salmon just any day of the year.
In the summer, for the 4th of July, you had salmon and peas.
Salmon and peas. Yep.
And then maybe once during the summer, you might have salmon again, because some member of the family might go on a little fishing trip and come back with a nice salmon. So that was it. And it was a great treat, and it was a specialty. We've worked ourselves in society out of this kind of way of life.
Dorothy Hayes, a member of the Friends of Blue Hill Bay in the state of Maine.